What we want to do here, we called it a roadmap discussion, is try and sketch out what we think the most important issues are to focus on in this area. And some of this has come up before. And we thought, actually, Astrid and I were discussing, we want to give everybody a chance to say something so it doesn't turn into that. So I think I'll start at this side of the room and go that way. So perhaps, Alberto, if you just want to say, what do you think the main issues or the main results or something that struck you of particular importance? We want to look to the future, of course, but if you feel there's something else of significance that needs to be said, now is a good time.
So, what we have achieved so far, or what we...
Either what we did, can you hear me? Oh, is this not on? Is it on now?
That's on. I've got a red light on. Is that the right thing?
The green light is on.
How do I tell? I see red for... I did. I moved it, and it's got a red light.
Yeah, then they need to exchange the battery.
So the batteries run out. I could yell, and it would pick up over there.
There's a battery just going down.
There's a microphone on the top on the ceiling. So, Rob, you don't really need a microphone.
See, it's still red.
Ah, okay, there we go. I know that, but they need it for recording purposes. Okay, so where were we? Yeah, so either what you think some of the key achievements are, but I'm thinking more where do you think we should go next? So
the first thing to me is to have more control on the gravity side. So either the environment proposal of asymptotic safety or quadratic gravity, other possible approaches to quantum gravity in relativistic field theory. Because I think this is important to give sense to asymptotic safety in general, since we are anyway defining this property in relativistic field theory. So problem number one would be gravity, to me. And then, one can also think about extending the possible scenario of this time I mean quantum field theories with this problem.
Extending quantum field theories, what? I didn't...
With this property, with asymptotic safety and or freedom.
With asymptotic on the gravity side?
You know, focusing on the quantum field theory side, with matter fields, I mean. Once point one is achieved,
okay, all right. Niyash, what would you say?
Yeah, I mean, I would say just erase number two, keep number one. That's it. I mean, I think it kind of pointless to try to extend, understand quantum. I mean, it's that kind of toy models, so we could do it to death. But at the end of the day, It's exercise in mathematics. If you don't have gravity, then you're solving a problem that doesn't belong in our universe.
Yeah, that's why it is point one.
But I'm saying, so point one, that's this issue with lambda poles that lie beyond Planck energy. I don't really understand what's the point, what's wrong with that. I mean, as long as it's not we know that we have to understand gravity there. And I guess, I mean, the other part of it, which I guess I've kind of mentioned before, is like Occam's razor, which is, it seems that right, people here are happy to add like many, many fields and couplings, and the only thing they care about is asymptotic safety. Doesn't matter how many few new parameters you add. But can you go the other way? I actually quite like what Astrid done, which is instead of keep adding things, just say if you add gravity, could you get something that just a standard model plus gravity is asymptotic safe, and you don't have to add other junk basically into it.
So I guess I would push back a little bit in the sense that just a little bit on, you know, if we don't get gravity, why bother? I mean, wouldn't the same logic apply to grand unified theories way back when? I mean, you could say why even, which was the endeavor of from the mid-70s to, well, I don't know when, but you could have used the same logic. Why are we trying to unify the forces? We know gravity's going to come in at the Planck scale. So how would you answer that?
I wasn't there, I would have probably objected the same way to them.
Okay. Well, all right. That's a generational difference, perhaps.
But history, I mean, people, of course, do whatever they want to do and spend their time whatever they want. But the question is it a pointless exercise, or do we actually gain anything at the end of the day? And the question is, well...
I guess the way I see it, it's a key question as to whether the Planck scale allows one to postpone all the problems of gravity until you get to that scale and do everything you can with everything else before that, or if gravity somehow must be essential well before that. And I'm agnostic on this. I think there are good arguments on both sides, but it's not my job to fully editorialize, so I push back. So why don't we go here?
I guess, of course, point one is very important, but I don't have any idea how to even start.
So I'm going
to
take a tally of votes. There's three votes there.
Right. So I mean, I don't think I can contribute anything there. So I'd rather start digging into this 1RNF fixed point, since it's proven very relevant to many of the models we've seen this week, and so really try and get a better feeling with this whole thing.
In what way? Can you elaborate?
Because, I mean, we have seen there's been some problem with the abelian fixed point, at least. I mean, it seems that there is no abelian fixed point, even though we have a zero of the beta function. So we need to make sure that we don't have the same problem for the non-abelian gauge groups. And sort of try and get a feeling for where this pole comes from and make sure we don't have any other poles in that whole thing. I mean, just see if we can get some feeling for what they'd be.
Okay.
So I think it's, for me, it's number one, it's more important, I think. For me, now, at least now, we have no signal and so on. So, but we should discuss some boundary condition at Planck scale, which means that we should discuss more precisely what the consequence from the quantum gravity. So, that's my idea, right? My opinion.
Okay. Tom?
Well, I guess there's a question of what's important for the community and how I can fit into it. So, I mean, in terms of where I could fit into this, I think the realization for me at this meeting is the challenge of the U1 couplings. And so trying to look at models where the U1 is embedded to me is an important question, and so I think that's the direction that I'm most interested in, because it seems these U1s are really the serious challenge, and that fits into the question of the gravity scale and so on, but I think the U1s is the essence of the issue, and so that's the direction I'd like to pursue.
So you're not, what about the notion that just deal with it by embedding? You're not fully happy with that?
Exactly. So pursuing that direction where the U1 is embedded, to me is an important direction.
So how to embed, best way to embed?
Yeah, all those things.
Okay.
But somehow avoiding the issue of the U1 couplings, except that at low energies, obviously.
Jiwei?
So, to me, I think, personally, I'm very interested in two things, right? The first thing is how to make the asymptotic safety testable with gravity and without gravity. So, is it possible to test in cosmology? I guess it's because it's a very high-energy scale. It's in principle, should be possible. And then what about collider? To me, is not very promising. But it could be some. So I think how to test asymptotic safety, particularly, I mean, in model dependent probably, but know, how about if they even go push it, become like when it's possible to model independently test it. That if we really find something that I think will be very, very important. And another one is more, I think, a foundational philosophical one is, to me, it's asymptotic safety is something really connected to triviality problem, symmetry breaking problem, naturalness hierarchy problem. And Francesco, to me, is, and Strumia, of course, I mean, they are brave enough and to already in that direction push a little bit. I think it's deserved to understand it even better. And then it's also connected to so maybe some well-known, I mean, classically conformal, because it's also connected to conformal feature, right? It's sort of. So maybe it deserves, I mean, that's a huge debate. I mean, what it really means about the classical conformal or quantum conformal.
Should I put conformality problem? Maybe I missed that there.
Sure. Yeah, I guess, did you miss the naturalness hierarchy?
And hierarchy problem?
Yeah, naturalness hierarchy. How do I just have a very vague feeling. Also, Francesco, maybe it's better if he is here. But but I just have a very vague feeling. I think they are deeply connected, but I think it's deserved to push a little bit harder.
Okay.
Well, for my personal thesis, I would like to understand if this 1 over an F fixed point is a CFT that we already know, or, I mean, what is exactly there? Because that's a question that we cannot really address. We can
see, about number 4 you're talking about.
We can see, like, that there can be a flow there, but it's not exactly, we don't understand what is there. So what kind of CFT are we talking about?
Probably should add that to number 4 then. I have a feel it. Maybe I should go over this way somehow, right?
It might be a little bit more general because actually Anas has Nicola has a better description to me, right? It's like 2 months ago. Because Nicola feel this 1 over the F actually provides a very special, if it is CFT, it's a very special CFT.
Yeah,
so I think it really is
like also the thing that of the critical exponent we were discussing the other time with Dan, that these are things that they're important for to understand what exactly is there, what kind of CFT. Is that a new critical phase? Is that something new? We don't know. And maybe another thing that might be completely, I don't know anything about it, so I will just shoot it out and say, you can insult me afterwards. For this model independent test, like I saw, for example, that people improved the black hole matrix with the RG for asymptotic safe gravity, right? I wanted to understand this calculation. They can tell you something about a model independent test, and if it's so, why can someone try to understand a U1 safe improving the charge black hole matrix?
So what did people do? Sorry, what happened? I didn't quite get.
I mean, I saw that there was some papers about RG improving like black hole matrix, just given as an input that the gravitational constant is safe. I don't know anything about that, but
I had missed that. It's nothing's coming to mind.
Actually, is that Professor Lichten? Is you have one work on some safe black
did
hole?
You did this.
Connected to
you can,
Daniel, is this you? Is the question.
Let's say others. Yes, a number of people have played around with certain versions of this idea with gravity, correct?
And I mean, something sensible comes out of that. I mean, there's some signal that one can say, well, this RG improvement, safe gravity, gives some particular signature on this black hole metric. And in the case, like, let's say that I take the charged black hole and I want to implement a U1 safe. I don't specify which safe completion I have for this U1, but is there a model independent test that can say, okay, this charged black hole matrix behaves weirdly if I have a safety one or stuff like that.
Yes. Okay. It's a very wide field of questions. Okay, let me try to say one thing but brief. Okay. So people have played around with the idea of RG improvement.
Uh-huh.
Okay. This seems to be working reasonably well.
Okay.
There's a coherent picture coming out of that. People have also tried to combine that with the ideas of walking and black hole entropy, so to speak. Okay. Yes. So that would be secondary way leading qualitatively to same results. Okay. So for now, people are reasonably happy with the finding.
Okay.
However, you could also say that a hard first principle derivation of them is still somewhat lacking. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Since we need to make approximational steps in between.
Okay.
Now, whether this is something that could be of use within the context of what is discussed here, that's not so clear to me. Okay. But if people have ideas, then maybe it's worth discussing.
Daniel?
I would definitely also go for point number one.
Okay.
First step, although I guess that it's, I would fear it's not a short-term project. But then, of course, this also connects to the point number three, because it's a reasonable scenario that quantum gravity plus doesn't, like, for instance, if you take asymptotic safety scenario, quantum gravity fixed point plus standard model does not give the exact standard model infrared, so one can then also ask the question, what is the precise meta content one needs to add in order to get the exact standard model values in infrared. But that's a rather a long-term thing. And what might be a bit more short-term is to maybe more model-independent think about what does the gravity hammer at the Planck scale do. Is there maybe some common feature between different quantum gravity approaches and how they influence the standard model matter running, that might be maybe also something worth to think about. Yeah.
Okay, should I write that down, or is that a more of an elaboration on what's already there?
You can leave it as an elaboration.
Okay, all right. Stephen?
So I'm also going to add my vote to one as well. I have some ideas from my other hat that there's something you could do with string theory on the one side, question one, which is because that's, so the question is really just whether it even makes sense to consider a field theory asymptotic safe model in the context of something else which may not be asymptotically safe on the gravity side, you know, so, and that's something people did think about already in string theory, so I think there are things that you could try and look at and kind of adopt them, adapt them to a field theory language. I also quite like, I mean, it's going to be controversial, but I kind of quite like to do something without the 1 over NF fixed points and see if there's a phenomenology you can get just purely with the Geiger-Kawa perturbative theories. Because I have in my mind that we'd probably like to sell it to a wider community, the whole thing. And I think it would make it a lot easier to do that if you were not relying on sort of quite unusual resummation techniques. As soon as you say resummation, people immediately will just say, okay, we're not perturbative, and then that's... So I think it would probably help our advertising campaign a little bit if we had something else like that. And also along with that is number 7, which is, I'm going to add a vote to that.
How do you test?
Yeah, how do you test? I mean, I could kind of see the subject growing into the replacement for supersymmetry at some point. And to do that, you could really do with something like a way to test it. And then create a lot of interest in it.
Okay, so I don't need to modify that. Astrid?
Yeah, so I'm taking one as a sort of homework.
Yes.
Assignment. But
so tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. but I would like to add a point on that and also on the meta model. So I think it's important to keep in mind that it maybe doesn't make too much sense to divide matter and gravity and to talk about asymptotic safety separately in either of them. Because these degrees of freedom talk to each other, and so really a sort of realistic asymptotically safe model of our universe should really be a gravity matter model. So more control on the pure gravity side without taking into account the effect of matter is an interesting mathematical exercise, provocatively stated, but really I think the interplay of gravity and matter is really what maybe we should be aiming for realistic models. But then on the point how to test asymptotic safety, I think what can be explored much more is the point that in an asymptotically safe setting, some couplings which are free parameters in an asymptotically free setting actually become predictions. So for the Gauge-Yukawa fixed points, just one of them is actually a free parameter, the other one is fixed. And so if we try to build minimal models which don't have too many new degrees of freedom, too many new scales, then maybe these models are restrictive enough so that they really have some explanatory power in the infrared and thereby become testable. And maybe to add one or two more points, I think the two sort of problems or sort of key points that have come up during the meeting is the U1 issue, but also the question of the Higgs. So in the standard model, the Higgs is in a very special mass range, and somehow it seems to me that statement is still true in asymptotically safe meta models. So what I gathered from the discussion in the morning was that accommodating the value that the Higgs self-coupling has is actually a challenge not only for the standard model, but also for its asymptotically safe extension. So maybe this should be something that maybe that is telling us something more, and we should think about that more. And finally, asymptotic safety is sort of advertised as a new paradigm. So then, does it have anything specific to say about the properties of dark matter or of nuclei in general? So is there a generic asymptotically safe dark matter phenomenology? I guess I'm stopping here.
Okay, just a minute. I thought actually Niyesh would maybe raise that point, but he sort of did before. Okay, and then Daniel.
Gravity, everything is
phenomenology. So, Daniel.
Yes, sir. You've gathered a very impressive list of things to do. Yes, if we take that as homework, I think it will keep us busy for a little while. Right. There are very many points on that list where I can totally agree to. Okay, the right things have been said by many of you. Maybe let me comment on one of this aspect, asymptotic safety, say, without gravity. My feeling still is that since the quantum gravity scale is so far away, I think it does perfectly make sense to put some brain power into non-gravitational models to explain how to bridge that energy range, perhaps in a way which may help us to explain some of the parameters in the standard model, which presently appear as numbers, but maybe they can be related amongst each other and can find an explanation thanks to an asymptotically safe extension. Now, there's one aspect, perhaps, which one could add, other than physics, and that is a technological aspect. Okay, so a lot of work here has been exploiting perhaps perturbation theory, very successfully so, and also systematic resummations thereof. But clearly, as has emerged in many cases, some questions might touch upon strong coupling, so it really would be useful to start thinking and developing techniques or methods or exploiting techniques and methods which actually can tackle strong coupling. And once more, I honestly believe the trick is exploit what is already there, if you can, okay? There are powerful techniques and methods around, yes, everybody has one's own flavor, what he or she likes to be using, yes, but at the end of the day, you're doing it to get out of physics and whatever means you'll be using, yes, that should be fine at the end. So whether it's functional renormalization, as some of us are doing, or whether you use maybe lattice simulations, okay, Schwinger Dyson technologies, or maybe exploiting ADS CFT type ideas, or looking for gravity duals for some of these theories, right? I mean, there's a large basket of techniques which have emerged over the past 5 or 10 or 15 years, which could be exploited in the context of the physical questions we have been putting forward.
Okay, well, that's how Miao. Do you want to say anything?
Me? I'm just a master's student, and maybe I'm the lowest degree in this room. Mm-hmm. And even though I'm the lowest degree, when I'm doing the model which being assigned with some given number, and I have some idea, like if we can find some coefficient being model independent, that is our job doing some labor thing like adjusting the numbers to see whether the model would work under such numbers. So I would say number 7.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, model independent. Yeah.
I would say it's important.
Okay.
More independent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Would our artist in residence like to say anything?
Make better slides.
You
no,
should help us.
This was fun.
Well, we do what we can. I guess I sort of, with all of this, some of it's really related to number 3. What are the, like, what is considered a better model than another? I mean, right now this subject for the last several years, from what I gather, is by and large exploratory. Let's see what can work. But the question is, what are the desirable features? And what I've been asked by other people, not in this way, I'll put it in my own way, when does one declare victory and when does one concede defeat? And in practice and science, the latter seldom happens directly. It's usually the next generation votes with their feet instead of does it. But really, I think that's a question, like what counts as victory here? And for me, it's a bit less clear. In the old days, when with grand unified models, what counted as victory was the simplest model that saw all the forces as part of one group with the smallest number of couplings possible. And of course, when that didn't work, things mushroomed out. But I guess at least to me, that seemed clearer. Whereas here, what is it? Is it more fields that get the couplings the same? Is it the fewest number of fields possible? Like what do we really, I mean, that may be a premature question. But still, I think we need to keep it in the back of our minds. What counts as victory and then what ultimately counts as defeat? I mean, it can't be defeated in a logical sense and that we know it's logically possible to construct asymptotically safe models. So that's just a fact. So I think the question then becomes, I mean, what counts as empirical victory? So I guess I do lean somewhat towards 7. If there were some clear as a bell signature that asymptotic safety gave, you can bet everybody's citation rate in this room would go through the stratosphere in a matter of hours. Gosh, this is being recorded. I do think that's really important. Or the other key thing maybe is if we could really consistently, attractively combine gravity with matter in some way that people in quantum gravity liked, that would help. I mean, we already heard some criticism about the ghost, graviton ghost, and so on, that that's doesn't go down well in some quarters. And but so in some sense, another way I think of declaring victory would be if there were a very persuasive incorporation of gravity, even at a I mean, not empirical level, but I think, what's the right word? Logical level, theoretical level. I mean, that was the aim of string theory. If you get a self-consistent theory of gravity, then isn't this great? And the problem it ran into was instead of finding more restrictions, people found more generalizations. And so that goal was abandoned, but quietly abandoned.
Well, I mean, it's also, it's people vote with their feet.
Well.
So it's, like you say, it's people think of other things to think about.
That's right, they do. But it's taken quite a while to do that. But
I mean,
there's this drive that which I have sympathy with. One can say the history of physics has always been to unify disparate phenomena, right? Newton, terrestrial and celestial, Maxwell, electricity and magnetism, and so on and so forth. But as Pauly pointed out, there's no guarantee this has to be true. And even if it is, what unification means, we don't really know. I mean, we had one idea with guts and the proton didn't decay, and there's another idea with Susie, but it's not cooperating at LHC energy, so. But you're right, people ultimately vote with their feet.
It's also not clear what minimization means either, because the number of particles might not be the thing that makes it minimal. If it's
That's right, I agree. That's why I like to use the word optimal. That's one question to ask, but there are trade-offs, right? I personally think fewer stuff is better, but I would be persuaded the other way if some more, much more attractive feature emerged. I mean, that's basically what is argued in string theory, right? If you have a bazillion particles, if you need a bazillion things to make gravity quantum, well, so be it.
Yeah, but also there's a symmetry underlying it, isn't it? Which is modular invariance.
Yes, that's right. And there are all these beautiful symmetries and all this stuff. Absolutely, yeah, that's right.
So here, it could just be, you don't mind everything being there being a lot of stuff if the repetition is the sign of some symmetry, you know?
Sure, and sure. But even that is one way of thinking. So what I've always found attractive, well, what I initially found attractive about loop quantum gravity, it still did, is it said, look, let's get rid of all this junk and see what we can do with gravity on its own. And, well, again, that program has yet to fully succeed, I think. You're probably saying that in if the whole building were gathered together and I said it, I'd probably start a big argument. But yeah, so you're right, these criteria. But I think we need to think about these criteria. That's why I use the word optimal maybe instead of minimal, but the Occam's razor argument surely still has to have scientific merit, right?
Well, I mean, you could say, I mean, a standard model, the thing about it is that there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, up to energies that are well beyond Planck scale. And the question is, do we need anything more than that? I mean, we could certainly cook up lots of things, but do we need anything up to Planck scale? And as far as I can tell, I mean, except for the dark matter, we don't.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I mean by when I said before, we filled in the periodic table. Technically, we don't. When I give talks to students, I mean, our mothers would say, well, that's very good, dear. You've succeeded. Now run off and play, right? But, I mean, there are these features. I think the 27 adjustable parameters is a less than attractive feature. It works, right? I mean, it's a remarkable achievement. 100 years ago, nobody knew anything about any of this stuff, right?
But if you can decrease the number, then of course that's an achievement. But if you just keep increasing the number of free parameters, that's not.
You're right. I agree. So you hope, but I also think, to be fair, asymptotic safety as a paradigm or a discipline is in a relatively early stage. So you got to cut people some slack, right, and see what it will and will not do.
I mean, to some extent, the question is, what is the phase space for these type of theories?
Yeah.
Okay, and we believe we just about scratched the surface of that. There are many more things that actually now can be explored, and whether meta multiplicities or other aspects are then ultimately being considered as the Baroque features, yes, or less Baroque features, yeah, we simply have to figure out, right? We need to populate that face space with working models. Okay, and then typically models which have more predictive.
So you vote for point two. Extending quantum theory is
with asymptotic safety.
I think that's certainly a healthy game to play now that we've seen some structure, okay, both with and without gravity, yes. Maybe you're happy with 20 odd parameters up until the Planck scale, right? Then maybe gravity is the question you want to focus on, but if you speak to phenomenologists, they have very clear views on why they are so unhappy with these many parameters. People would want to have a theory of flavor, right? There are so many funny aspects in the standard model which somehow, from a theory perspective, cry, scream for an answer, and where people have not been able to deliver anything. Okay, so we have a new game, little new thing in town. Maybe this can help us. I think that's a fair strategy of asking questions.
Did you want to say something?
I'd just like to interject about whether we need something up to the Planck scale, and that also just bring attention to the flavor anomalies. I mean, it does look like there could be something there.
But there's always some anomaly every. There are three anomalies at any time. So
I haven't been around for so long.
I can tell you from experience that it's a play, game you can play ad infinitum, but as long as it's probably less than 3 or 4 sigma,
it's sort of on that edge.
But I mean, you could say in the history, if we look at matter in the history of science, right? All these various diverse things, and then we discover, hey, everything's made out of a few elements, but then the number of elements gets bigger, that then we discover everything is protons, neutrons, and electrons. So by, 1940, we'd really zoomed in. But then, of course, now it's zoomed out again. All these different states, it helped things were made of quarks, but we're still in this case where we're finding it hard to contain, right? Why are there 3 generations? We don't need the other 2 for anything except none of us need them to be here. And it's pretty sure dark matter isn't made of any of that stuff. So why is it there at all? It's there, but there's no good reason for it on any Platonic logical ground that I can think of. So, but anyway, maybe we're at the 4:30 mark or a little bit afterward. Anybody want to make any final remarks or?
Well, I guess one thing that didn't come up was this cost issue that I guess it really goes to one, but it's an important one, so
I'd put it here. I think that's part of what I would mean by control.
Right. Because,
nobody likes ghosts.
How about some people like?
Scientists are not superstitious people.
Science fiction. Ghost cell, but the thing is, that's one of, at least when it comes to gravity, that's been like one of the main objections, basically, from people outside the community.
But I think, again, every approach to quantum gravity runs into difficulty, and I would include string theory.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, everything gives problems someplace. In fact, you could say that's true of almost any theory in science, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Someone, I remember why I was at one of my grad students was giving a talk, and another person in the group say, "Well, that's I think what you've got there is a sick theory." And he said back, "Name me a theory that isn't sick." I mean, all our standard theories, if you extrapolate them too far, they make no sense, right? You get Landau poles, or you get non-renormalizability, or you get something that just doesn't make sense.
I mean, string theory is not sick in that sense. I think it's.
We don't.
When you try and do something with it, it doesn't.
What's your definition of sickness? What about 10 of the 1500 vacua? Is that a disease? I would say that's certainly an unattractive feature.
Right, but I mean, I can write to you a theory. I mean, so for heterotic string theory or something, it's perfectly well defined. Doesn't have anything intrinsic. I mean, there's no inconsistency like ghosts or anything.
That's true.
So. I can, so the theory itself looks as if it's about to be very helpful and interesting, but that is, once you start to break supersymmetry, for example, yep. then it gets problematic.
But at what point do we say, you know, at what point is a thing a theory of physics instead of a mathematical construct?
Okay, the number theory is also very nice.
Yeah, number theory is has no sicknesses, but, right, that's where I think we have the boundary. If it purports to be have something to do with the real world, then, you know, it's incumbent upon the proponents of the theory to make connections. So. All right, well, thanks again, everybody, for coming, and have a good trip home. And hopefully we'll keep in touch with each other. I guess maybe I'll try and I can record this list of things, I guess, and send it out to the group. And then hopefully we can develop maybe some more interactions and collaborations on all these things. One thing about this group, they're not lazy. Okay, so thank you all.